Raised Rowdy.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Raised Rowdy podcast. I am Nikki T.
My name is Kurt Ozon.
And we have our very special guest, Mr. Trey Lewis, or as we're going to talk about, Thomason.
Thomason.
Yeah. So, honestly, me and Kurt have been chatting about this podcast specifically, and Kurt was like, I'm so excited to talk about this because we've been friends forever.
Yeah.
Literally since I moved here, and we've known you before that.
Yeah, Raised Rowdy's been pushing my music in some form or fashion.
Day one. Yeah. Premieres of the early days, you know?
Whole lot of nothing.
Yep. And then, I mean, honestly, as soon as I got to town, just getting to meet you and your tribe, like really meet.
Yeah, it was like a warm embrace as soon as you got here.
Yeah. So I've been a fan, of course, since before I even lived here. Yeah. And then got to see the whole chaos of the rocket ship of DDID happen and all of the chaos that ensued from there.
Yeah.
Via like you and, of course, Matt, who's my now business partner at that time, of course, wasn't.
Yeah.
But him and I were buddies back then. That's kind of how I like became buddies closely with all you guys. And so to get to chat about what's going to be like the next chapter is super cool. And honestly, for me, like feels full circle.
I'm excited about it, man. It's going to be, it's going to be really cool. I was just thinking of a time when we had a big party at the house and I didn't really know you. You just got really drunk and like we were all like in my room.
Oh, New Year's? Yeah.
Like there was like probably 10 people laying on my queen size mattress. And Mickey T was one of them and he was just passed out drunk.
Yeah.
It was
great.
I blame that on those Delta 9 Skittles.
Every now and then he'd wake up and be like,
That was New Year's that year. So I moved down in October. So that was New Year's that same year. So I was in town 2 months. And Matt had these little like Skittles and they were like Delta 9. And at that time,
Trailside.
It fucked you up, bro.
Bro, the Delta 9 hits different. And I didn't know the correct dosage. And at that time, I wasn't really doing THC generally.
Mm-hmm. Still aren't.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, I moved in with Joe, so that changed. Yeah. Well, you know, I was just in California, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
But so like that night was chaos, and I remember like bringing the freaking Eagle beer bong over, and then the dog got a hold of it. It was all tore up. Man, just you guys welcomed me into your world very quickly. And I mean, we were like I said, you know, we'd known each other, but that's when we really got to know each other.
Yeah, I mean, I really miss those days, man.
Me too. Honestly,
looking back on them, like it was so much fun and just like. Not that there's not a togetherness now, but, you know, everybody's so busy, you know, everybody's doing their own thing, crushing it.
Dude, that's what, like, people say when I tell people I moved down during COVID, they were like, oh, well, that's a shitty time to move down. I'm like, actually, it was the best.
It was awesome.
Yeah, because everyone that would have been on the road every weekend playing their cover gigs or playing their, you know, original shows, all were home.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it did for me, like, just I was like playing like covers and stuff, you know, and traveling every weekend and being able to hang out with the people that I was writing songs with, you know, really get to know them was like awesome.
Well, you get those bonds that it's hard to get on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I feel like you made your way over there at some point. Did you ever?
When you and Ella were living together? Yeah. I don't think I ever made it over there.
Never made it over there.
Yeah. That was a crazy house.
Yeah.
It was like five people living there or whatever. You guys had a lot of people.
Yeah.
But it was a cool house. And, man, think about the history of that place and all the fun times you guys had there now. And, like, just all the people that were in there, not just living there, but, like, that passed through. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Artists, friends, songwriters.
Yeah, I remember, like, the night DDID came out.
Mm-hmm.
Cynthia, which is now Maxwell's wife, came over there with Tracy. Remember Tracy Moore?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's like, this girl's new. She just moved to town. And we're like, yeah, well, I just had this song, Dick Down and Down. off. Like, we're like partying. There's like mud and everything on the floor. Yeah.
That house was always muddy because you'd walk right outside and then it was just like mud pit and then you walk right in. So that whole like tile area was always
dogs
muddy.
And
oh, yeah.
All that stuff. So many dogs. Ella was really the only person that cleaned in that house. So.
God bless Ella.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
It's funny that you can look back on times that weren't maybe as good as you remember them so fondly. Like, I was thinking about that, like, back to the club tour days and all this and that. But even though shit's going so great now, it's funny how we look back with rose-colored glasses on stuff and maybe ignore some of the less savory parts, you know?
Yeah, like the dirty showers and stuff.
Yeah, totally. Venues. And so it's like, that's but just part of like how you remember things. Because it's like, things are going great now too, you know? It's like, shit's going great. So
yeah, there's a lot of exciting stuff coming up too. I remember when Luke did the, it was like a Spotify thing at Charlotte. At Did you play those shows?
I don't remember.
You had to.
I just remember thinking that was so badass that like he went back to the clubs and did like three nights.
Yeah, we did the Apple Music thing in Coyote Joe's. I did that. That was the hottest show of my entire life.
Yeah,
it is.
And it was, Coyote Joe's is hot enough as it is when you play there. Mm-hmm. Well, it was at capacity and they had,
it was probably over capacity.
Yeah, and then they had 15 cameras there and all the computers and stuff, and it was the only time when we walked off stage and I offered Dustin a beer and he said no the entire time of our career being in a band together. And I was like, you want a beer? He's like, no, man, I can't. I got to get a water. And I was like, oh, like he was like on the verge of death. Wow. And we walked outside and it was like raining and like steam was popping off his head because it was so freaking hot. People were passing out. We had to stop a song. Crazy. I fucking love Coyote Joe's though. Yeah, what a great bar.
It is. It's like one of the top tier venues. Totally. Of club shows. Yes.
Oh, yeah. You
know? It's huge and degenerate and great. And
vibe.
It's the perfect vibe. And
they feed you like a couple of meals a day. Mm-hmm. They get pizza after the show.
So great. We actually had a call with them. We're talking about maybe like doing like, I don't know, some kind of podcasty event down there on the back of like another event or something. Yeah. But that would be so sick. I have in my head like a vision of having a Raised Rowdy Coyote Joe's like hat one day.
What's the guy's name?
Lance. We talked to the GM, not to the owner.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't remember the owner's name and I feel bad.
Oh, Matt loves him.
Yeah.
Matt would know.
Matt remembers.
Yeah. Matt remembers everyone's names. He's very good at that. He's honestly not quite as good as he used to be, but he's still way better than I've ever been. So, but man, like, we're here today to talk about like the new thing that's happening. So, like, for those that don't know, like, I've been working with Trey on like a little bit of the marketing side, just like kind of ideas and direction a little bit. And like, I just listen to your songs and tell you the ones that I like, you know?
Yeah. I remember a while back, we were kind of like, it was in the early stages when y'all first came on to the team. And like, it was something that you and Matt Brill said, like, because I was talking about some of my more serious songs, you know, and y'all were basically like, yeah, I mean, if you want to do that, then you just need to quit doing this other thing completely, you know, and just like do that. You know? And I remember like that just kind of like pissing me off. I was like, no, there's no way. But I remember like right around that time frame, I started like cooking up this idea in my head of like maybe I could do another artist thing, but I never told anybody.
Yeah.
And it's something that I feel like as a creative, when you get an idea for something, it once it's there and it's like pretty concrete in your mind, like it's always going to be there until you like do something about it.
Yeah.
And I guess, I mean, originally Cape and Mitch kind of pitched the idea to me. And as soon as they said it, I was like, man, this is cool that y'all are saying this, because this is literally something that I've thought about doing like a million times. And, you know, I have folders in my phone saved for this thing, you know.
Yeah.
Originally I was going to call it Thomason 3 because during COVID I put out a few like work before Dick Down in Dallas. I put out a couple of work tapes that were called Thomason 3 and you know how Muscadine did like their COVID tapes. I forgot what it was called.
I think it might just be COVID tapes.
Yeah, or something. But they were just voice memos and like Ryan Newman's like put some reverb on it or something.
Yep.
And I decided to do the same thing. So I texted Charlie. I was like, hey, you don't think I'm going to be like lame? I'm like copying y'all and doing this. And he was like, hell no, dude. Here's Ryan's number too. Like hit him up. So Ryan like put his little magic on it and I put those out. And then that's when I met Maxwell. And then on the second, the Thomason Volume 2, I did Thomason 3 Volume 2. I did three more, but they were more like just acoustic songs.
Yeah.
So, like, I've always thought it would be cool to some. I remember, like, changing my name to Trey Lewis in, like, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
What was it before?
Just Trey Thomason. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm a third. I said that's why they call my parents call me Trey.
Trey. Yep.
And it was Trey Thomason. And like during that time, there was like Trent Thomason and like Thompson Square, you know. So it was like my friend Nolan, rest in peace. He's gone now. But he was like, yeah, man, you should just like change your name to Trey Lewis. He was like, that sounds commercial and like just do it. And I was young. I mean, you know, if you live in Nashville, you got to have a fake name.
Yeah.
You know? You can't have your real name.
I'm just now learning all this.
Yeah. If you're a new artist in town, got to get a fake name. First rule.
First rule. Well, it's like, so exactly what you're saying. Like if it's too close to another artist, or sometimes there's already an artist that has that exact name, that even if they're not like far along in their career or haven't been in multiple years, then it's hard to get the naming rights for it.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
And there ended up being another Trey Lewis. He's a rap artist. Yeah. So for a while, every time he would put out like a mixtape, it would go on my Spotify.
Come up.
So I ended up dealing with the same situation.
You know, on that.
Eventually. Well, but I really like, so I mean, that was in 2012 when I changed my name. So a lot of stuff has happened between 2012 and now, especially to do with my name. You know, my dad passed away when I was 26. And, you know, he got to see, like, my first full band show ever, which was terrible. Yeah. But to me, it was cool.
Yeah.
You know? And my aunt, my dad's sister, she passed away during COVID. And then my sister got married and her name changed. So literally, I'm the last Thomason left. And I feel like the older that I've gotten, the more important my family name has become to me. You know, it's like, it's almost like a sacred thing, you know, and to know that I am the last of that. You know, there's after me, there's no more. I'm almost 40. I don't plan on having kids.
Yeah.
So when we started talking about doing this, I was like, man, we were going to call it Thomason 3, but I was like, then they'll think it's like a band or something, you know, like a trio, like the Kingston Trio or, you know.
So. Yeah. Ooh, good drop.
And you like them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they're awesome. Have you ever listened to them?
Uh-uh.
Oh, you got to.
Yeah.
Gotta get down on that. And so when we started talking about it, I was just like, let's just call it Thomason. You know, I already had those work tapes with like the more serious stuff before all this, and man, I'm really excited about it. Creatively, it's been really freeing to know, like, to write the Trey Lewis stuff, which is I wrote one today.
Yeah,
it's great. It's called "Leave That Bitch Behind."
Yeah. Sounds like a Trey song.
Yeah. And I mean, I really enjoyed just, you know, having that creative freedom. I feel like when I signed at Sony Music for, you know, publishing, like, I was, you know, of course I had the Cole Swindell cut and all that stuff, and that was really cool. And I love writing serious songs. Like,
yeah,
music for me has always been a healing process. I got sober in 2007, and I bought a guitar when I was 6 months sober, and it became like my way of getting my feelings out. Yeah. And it's always made me feel good. And that's like, you hear a lot of people like, I started playing guitar because I wanted to get the chicks and I wanted to be cool. And for me, like, I remember before I went to rehab, I learned how to play the Wish You Were Here, the little intro thing. And, I mean, I couldn't play it now, but that and then Everlast, that song, What It's Like.
Yeah.
I learned how to play that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, learning those things. And then when I bought that guitar and, like, just playing, like, the G chord and things like that, I was like, first time sober ever playing the guitar, I was like, man, it just strummed a chord in my soul. I don't know how to explain it. Like, it just felt better than anything I'd felt those 6 months. And I was like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, but that's what music has always been for me. It's always been a healing process. So that means a lot of serious songs have been written.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know what the Dick Down in Dallas thing was. I mean, obviously it happened, you know, and I remember when I first started playing guitar, like, me and my dad would, like, write stupid songs. Like, I don't even know if this is worth saying on the podcast, but we wrote this song one time when I, you know, like, because I would learn chords. I taught myself how to play, like, on YouTube and Ultimate Guitar and stuff like that. When you looked it up on the computer and printed it, you know, and I had like a chord book, and I couldn't like play B minor back then. It was like the bar chord was just so hard to me. But I would just like, instead of in every country song, almost has a B minor in it. So like, I would just like had a capo and these chords that I came up with, and I would just like make up stupid songs. But one song that me and my dad wrote was, Everybody Gets Molested When They're a Little Kid.
Oh my God.
It's hard.
Yeah. I don't even remember how it goes now, but I just remember thinking we thought it was so funny. It's like dark humor type stuff. But I always knew that that was a part of me. So I feel like, you know, being sober, it's like a lot of people, like you said, you know, you play a show and, or, you know, you have a hard day at work, you go home and you, you know, drink a couple cold beers and you just kind of forget about it and go it down, you know? Well, my having a couple of beers is singing about dicks and butt fucks or like whatever, you know?
Yep.
But there's the other side of me that is very serious and has, you know, had a lot of life happen in the...
Yeah.
Almost 2 decades that I've been sober. I mean, that's crazy to say.
That is crazy.
And so I've been enjoying it, man. It's been cool to like write some of these songs. And,
I think it's
I mean, cool. I already have like a couple albums done. So
yeah.
So, well, but just to kind of put it all a bow on the idea, it's like Tomlinson is.
It's Thomason.
Thomason.
What did I say with an L? Sorry.
Tomlinson. It's, I've been it's hard. Yeah. It's hard. It's really hard. Mitch kept saying Tomlinson.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be like one of those things, like, you know, like one of my favorite songwriters, artist of all time is Jason Isbell.
Yeah.
You know, people say Isabel. But it's like, once you get it, you got it.
Right.
And I'm cool with people messing it up as long as they're listening to the tunes. Right. Anyways, exactly. You were saying.
But I was just going to say the idea in general and like the kind of the reason why we're getting together is that you are sort of splitting your artistry into two like sort of sex, right? So there's like the Trey Lewis thing, which is the fuck that motherfucker, dick down Dallas vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other ones, it's going to be like the lucky one and like all this other new, like more serious stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also with that comes the catalog split. So all the music that you have released to date is going to be kind of sectioned into the two sides of it too, which I think is great. And like in our meetings and talks and stuff, it's like, then you can put on a Trey Lewis playlist or like discography, and you know what you're gonna get.
Yeah, you can like put it on, and you know you won't put on Trey Lewis music, and then all of a sudden be like, "Dick Down Dallas coming on, we got to change it." There's kids in here.
Yeah. But then also you have all those songs that your fans do love that you've already released, and like they've come to know, and they could put on at the barbecue with the kids around.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm excited about that, man.
I think it's great, and honestly, I mean, you know. Putting out a song like DDID is polarizing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I even remember from the days when you were like talking about when you were in cover bands and stuff. It's like you would slip in little things and covers.
Yeah,
like,
I remember that.
You know, for a ride on my big tallywhacker.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so that's like part of your brand, even before you knew it was, right? Like when you weren't even thinking about that being part of it. But now you also get that clean space where you can drop a song about sobriety.
Yeah.
Where you can drop a song about losing a loved one. You know what I mean?
And yeah, it doesn't
freak people out.
Like, I was thinking about this the other day. Like, you know, a lot of my not to be dark, but a lot of my family is gone. You know, a lot of my family is not here with me anymore. I mean, I still have my mom, my sister, you know, and some other ones. But I would like, and I know that my father or... You know, my family, like, I know they're proud of me, of who I am as a person and, like, what I've made of myself and the things that I've overcome. But, like, I just want to make, you know, I love doing the Trey Lewis thing, but I want to make some records that they would be proud of.
Yeah.
You know, not me, but the records.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's important to me in doing this.
I think it's powerful, man. And, I mean, it's like, it's... You know, people think of you and your biggest hit, of course, is DDID, but there's so much meat on the bone of like songs you've got cut by major label artists that are serious songs.
Yeah.
You know, like songs that got cut by legendary people like Tracy Lawrence.
Yeah, man,
you know?
That's the coolest.
It's crazy.
Cool one.
You know, and dude, you're just getting started. You have so much more in the tank as a writer, as an artist, and this gives you two channels from which to do that. And like in my head, I'm like, I have a dream of like you playing a show as Thomason and like no one asked to hear DDID.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like a hit that whatever a hit looks like in that world, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'll be excited to like just go play rounds as Thomason.
Yeah.
You know, and not even have to play that song.
Yeah.
And like even if that means like nobody gives a shit, then that's cool.
But man, 'cause
honestly, like sometimes I miss those days.
Yeah. Where it's like, well, no one's bothering you.
Yeah. Thing, yeah. You
know? And there's a precedent for this too. You know, like yeah. people have done this before.
Yeah.
So it's well,
it can be done. And
it has been done.
Yes.
It already has been done.
With streaming, it's like easier than ever. You know what I mean? Because if you had physical copies of records floating out there that you had to pull from a shelf, yeah. you know what I mean? And like, all right, let's like change the title.
What's like, how many people do you. Do you think have been going through some shit and heard Little Tired on YouTube? I did an acoustic video
yep.
a long time ago. How many people do you think have found that song in their darkest hour and really needed it and yep. then went to go check out the rest of my music and saw Dick Down in Dallas was my top song and they yeah. were like, what the fuck is this shit? You know?
Still a banger though.
It's very true. Yeah. But no, and I think that's the cool part about it is like, the people that love you can love both parts or mm-hmm. the people that are like, they love a song. Now we'll have a lane of other stuff that lives in that world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's going to make it even more powerful. And I think it's going to give you that creative outlet for both, yeah. you know, to where, cause I remember like talking and we were struggling with like, do you put out any more like dirty stuff? You know what I yeah. mean? Like, what's the right mix of it? Is it like innuendos but not curse words, you yeah. know, like, and having all those conversations? With this, you can kind of fully express yourself on both sides of it without feeling like you're holding anything back on either side, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can lean in on a dirty song and you can lean in on a song that is really about like heartbreak or about like loss or just whatever that is, you know, more straight down the center or like, you know, singer-songwriter-y.
Yeah.
I love it. And I think it's going to be cool for socials too. You know what I mean? As you get it like rolling out, like,
yeah, I think it's going to be really awesome. We're doing the no hat. So yeah. that's why I have a no hat on today.
I love that. And yeah. and we talked about like that when we were in like one of the marketing calls. I'm like, you got to think about it. Like if someone sees the silhouette of you, do they know who's who, right? Yeah. Do they know it's Thomason or do they know it's Trey Lewis? Right. Mm-hmm. Like all the greats, like if you see a silhouette of Luke Combs, you know exactly who it is, right? Ella, even now, especially yeah. with the bangs, you know, mm-hmm. if you see a silhouette of Ella, that's an iconic thing. And when I see Trey Lewis, I know the silhouette, but now I'm going to know what it looks like as Thomason yeah, as well.
Just a bald, you know, middle-aged male.
Hell yeah, brother.
But bro, that's life. That's the yeah. world, you yeah. know, getting older is,
it's thing. Been a weird thing. Like it's almost been like, I don't know. So it's been weird to be like, to wake up and be like, all right, am I Thomason today or am I Trey Lewis? You know, and go into my closet and like, you know,
do how, it accordingly.
It's kind of like, what is the word I'm looking for? Like,
Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. If it almost makes me feel like I'm crazy or something, you know, sometimes. Yeah. But it's, I understand it. You know, it's cool.
Well, and honestly, dude, like, just as a person, I can say that about myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like some days you just like don't want to, you want to be Nick Tressler. You yeah. don't want to be Nicky T.
Yeah. Like yeah. it's honestly, yes. Like, yeah. and honestly, it's been a weird thing specifically, like even since I got to Nashville. Like I remember in Pittsburgh, not as many people called me Nicky T. Mm-hmm. Like some people did, but it was mostly just like my concert crew, you know? And so like now in Nashville, it's like I'm Nicky T. like most of the time, but that used to just be the guy I was at concerts.
Yeah. I've always know? Had you saved in my phone as Nick Tressler.
Yeah. Well, yeah. that's my real name.
Yeah.
That's one my mama picked at least. Yeah. yeah.
I know like Rob had me change his name from Rowdy Rob to Robert Wilford
yeah.
or, you know, and or Rob Wilford in my phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's he probably doesn't thing. Like to be Rowdy Rob. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes.
Yeah. Depends how many of the surfsides he yeah. has, you know? No, but I mean, honestly, I think that's a struggle that people deal with. I could tell you I've dealt with it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I remember having my friend Lauren, who I was good friends with, and she's like, Nick, I like Nick Tressler. Like, you don't have to be Nicky T all the time.
Yeah.
You know? But sometimes I like to be Nicky T.
You might
T.
need to marry her.
No. She's already married to one of my buddies. But but you know what I mean? Like, I think that's a big part of it is, like, everyone has that. There's mm-hmm. duality in most people.
For
you know?
Sure. For sure.
there for sure is with me. There was office Nikki T that would sit at a desk all day and look at spreadsheets and logistics. And then there was party planner that was getting 20 people to go to a show with them and
front row, baby.
Drinking too many freaking beers and waiting in line to be sure you're at the front row at the Dusty Armadillo or Jurgles, you know? Yeah,
by the way, I'm going to the Dusty Armadillo.
Dude, I love God the bless Dusty. The Dusty.
I've never been.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah. Dusty is, it's fantastic. It is a straight, like, not extremely wide room, pretty deep.
Yeah, I heard the stage ceiling.
Low ceiling.
Yeah, when you take your guitar off, you have to like make sure you don't bonk the headstock.
I saw Brett Young and I've seen Ryan Hurd both play there. Nice. And they're like
super tall guys.
Yeah, tall guys. Yeah.
They're like right at the ceiling.
Man, I saw Ryan Hurd in the CAA box at a hockey game.
Yeah.
Like last year.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it was him. I hadn't seen him in forever.
Oh, yeah.
Just, he, like, waved at me like he knew me, and then I just kind of, like, gave, like, a...
Yeah. Well,
he probably thinks I'm a dick now.
Well, I doubt it.
I remember Ryan Hurd when he had long hair and had a bottle of champagne on stage with him all the time, you know? Like, just duality of that, too. Like, part of it is growing up, mm-hmm. you know? Like, as I've grown up, I'm a little less Nikki T and a little bit more Nick Tressler, you know? Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure you can say the same as like as you've grown.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say probably in the last 2 years, I've grown so much as a human. It's been awesome. But man, like we were saying earlier, like the being able to split these two things up is just gonna be. I mean, like we're talking about like it's gonna happen, but to me, in my mind, it already has. I've already like cultivated this thing, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, and you have a plan for it, and it's like the execution of it now, right? Yeah. So, again, like I get lucky enough to hear the songs before they even like get really recorded, which mm-hmm. for me is like a music fan is awesome.
Yeah.
Like when I got that initial list of like all your songs, and I got to go through like the big list of songs, and I'm like, these ones are sick. This
yeah,
is
and
sick.
Then like Lucky One, which is like gonna be the single. First single.
Yeah.
Which this episode will be out when it's out. Mm-hmm. So it's out now.
Yep. Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah.
But like that song, I wrote that song not even a year ago and it jumped the whole pile.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like I'm writing songs and I have stacks and stacks of songs, but if I write something and I like it better, you know, then it's just gonna jump the pile.
Well, and that's how you gotta do it, man. If it feels timely and it feels right, that's the other best part about working for yourself. You know, you're the one that gets to make those choices on when it's right to push something out, what's right. And I mean, honestly, Lucky One's a powerful song, brother.
Man, I appreciate it. I can tell you the story of how that song happened. Please. If you want to know. So Tripp, Ricky David Norris, the third,
mm-hmm.
Was one of my best friends. And we met in middle school and, you know, smoked cigarettes and pot and had all our first times, you know, together
mm-hmm.
of the party lifestyle. And I got sober in 2007 and 7, 8, 9. I think, and he could have, I can't remember when he passed away, but I was like 3 years sober.
Mm-hmm.
And it really rocked me because he drank and, you know, did drugs like I did, but he was always able to like still go to college and like, you know, show up and do stuff. So I knew he was partying. And I mean, after I got sober, that's the thing is like when you get sober, they're like, you got to quit hanging out with all your old friends. Well, like I got sober when I was 19. So a lot of my friends were like kids that I grew up with.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not just going to quit talking to them. I mean, I stopped talking to some of the rougher crowd that I ran with.
Yeah.
But I mean, we still hung out. He went with me to my lake house for 4th of July, like that year and all that stuff. Him and Frankie, which Frankie from Troublemaker.
Yep.
And, but anyway, so when I got the news that he passed away from a heroin overdose, I mean, it rocked my world. Like I had no idea that he could, he was doing anything close to that, which heroin, after I got sober, heroin became like the thing. You know, when I was getting messed up, it was Oxycontin. But anyways, long story short, I wrote a song called Ain't Nothing Wrong With It and put it out. And I wrote it about another friend that we had. His name was Jordan. And it was something that he said, and it was just like a phrase within our friend group. I mean, we all said it so much, like, mm-hmm. going to McDonald's ain't nothing wrong with it, you know, drinking this water ain't nothing wrong with it.
Yep.
And like we said it so much, like my mom even still says it to this day.
You
so
still
always,
say it.
Yeah, I always do.
Yeah.
So I had that idea on my phone, and I wrote that song with Davis Corley and Matt Warren, mm-hmm. which is pretty wild because Matt Warren like wrote like Every Storm Runs Out of Rain and like all these serious songs, and we typically do write serious songs together. But that was one of those songs for the Trey Lewis stuff that just jumped the pile, like had to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And so after we wrote the song and I demoed it, I sent it to Jordan, which I hadn't talked to Jordan in probably, you know, three or four years. Mm-hmm. And he called me, and that sparked like 2-hour-long conversation on the phone.
Was Jordan Walker?
No, his name's Jordan. We just grew up school together. Okay. Yeah, and he was the Ain't Nothing Wrong With It kid. So we just started chatting up, and like in high school, Trip and my friend Jordan, they played music. Like I didn't play music, but they did like, you know, hard like thrash metal, and like Trip was like the lead man and like screamed. I remember them playing at like the skate park, and like, man, I just thought it was so cool that they were able to express themselves that way. And like, mm-hmm. I knew I could sing, but I would never do something like that. I was a different person before I got sober.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just sitting there talking. And he was like, you know, the funniest thing about all this is, Trey. And I said, what's that? And he said, well, you know, we all did music in high school and you didn't. And Tripp used to always say you were the luckiest son of a bitch ever. And it's so funny now that you're the one with the platinum record and the music career and the publishing deal and all that stuff. And we're all, you know, the rest of us, the friend group is, you know, working office jobs and mm-hmm. whatever. So that sparked the idea for Lucky One. And I started like kind of, I was playing at Stoney's in Vegas.
Yeah.
And I was just like in the green room trying to like come up with the idea for the song, and I knew that I was going to write it with Davis Corley because he's like my go-to guy for that kind of thing.
You guys crush together.
All right, so I'm trying to make this short, but
we got time, bro.
So when I moved, before I moved to Nashville, Tripp's parents do this thing called Tunes for Tripp. They raise money, like they'll raise money for like Narcan. Now they give the money to this foundation called Turning Point. And my sponsor from AA actually works there, which is another crazy thing. But anyways, and they asked me to play it, like just to like open it up. This is like 2019. I show up that night, and it's Tony Arata, Rebecca Lynn Howard, Bryce Long, and Casey Beathard.
Crazy.
And, like, I didn't study songwriters back then like I do now, or, you know. And, you know, they play all their hits. I meet all them. You know, it's, like, it's a really inspiring thing because I'm about to move to Nashville and, like, try to come up here and do this thing. Mm-hmm. So it was, like, that was a cool night. And, you know, it's weird now because, like, me and Bryce are friends. We've written a bunch of songs together and, you know, we know each other on a first-name basis. And mm-hmm. I haven't seen any of the other writers from that night, but I mean, like, Casey Beathard, man, like,
legend.
I mean, legend. He's Tony written some too. Of my favorite songs ever. Tony, it's great. And the morning that I wrote Lucky One, I woke up that morning and I prayed. I just said, God, if I'm like doing like what I need to do, I just need some kind of sign, you know, like whatever. And I go into Sony. I'm like writing the song. And I get up and I go to the bathroom, and I come out of the bathroom, and Bryce Long and Casey Beathard are standing there. And dude, I haven't seen Casey, you know, I've been here 6 years, and I don't know, it's just like one of those moments where I was like, okay, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, you know. Mm-hmm. And we finished the song, and the hardest thing for me was like, because it has some strong language in the song. I mean, it starts out, I thought the funeral was bullshit, mm-hmm. which I did, you know, but I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And when you lose somebody you love, you don't really know how to put on the best funeral or, like, whatever, yeah. you know. Like, and me and his parents are cool, but They called me a while back to ask me about something. And I said, well, look, I wrote a song about Trip. And I want to send it to y'all, and I want y'all to hear it. But I want y'all to know that, like, it's a song about me and Tripp's relationship. It's nothing against y'all or anything like that. Because when I wrote the song, I was like, man, I really love this song. But if they hear this, it might break their hearts. And, like, causing them any more pain is, like, not something that I want to do. And they called me back, and they said, man, this song's awesome. We're crying. But they were like, it belongs in the... you know, the Hall of Fame. Wow. That's what they said to me. And that was just the final seal of approval for me. And and I was like, this has got to be at the top of the list. It's got to be the first thing we do.
Yeah, I love it. And I know
we're emotional on me.
Yeah. Sorry, brother. No, man. We heard it. And when we heard it the first time, you knew. Like, you knew that was the right one. And you were very vocal about it, too, which as someone being around an artist, like, that's what you want to see an artist do. Yeah. Is, like, you want to see the artist be like, no, this is it. And that's it, man. And it's a fantastic song. I think you sang it extremely well. And I love that it starts off with "The Funeral Was Bullshit."
Yeah.
Because that's who you are. That's who Thomason is. That's who Trey Lewis is.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the part of both of those things that makes you you, you know? So it's super cool. I think it's a great way to kick off that thing, right? Like the, hey, this is me, real. I'm not any less real because I'm doing two different things.
And I mean that, I mean that music is all very real, and it's very hard on my sleeve. I mean, dude, I love Cold Beer and Truck songs, but I just can't sing those.
Yeah.
You know? Like that's just not who I am as an artist.
No.
And...
We haven't drank cold beer in a lot of years.
Yeah, you know? Drank cold beer. Yeah. Or fucked a girl in my truck in a long time.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Me and Brooke keep it.
Yeah,
keep it together.
Well, she's a good girl, dude, and I'm so glad that you found one that you love too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Awesome. I think that's a big part of you saying you've grown personally in the last couple of years. I think Brooke's a big part of that too.
Yeah, for sure, man. She definitely, she definitely makes me. I feel like. You know, like I've done a whole lot of therapy on myself, you know, and I feel like as an artist or just a person in general, it's very important to search the dark corners of your mind.
Yeah.
You know, and everything that goes on. For me, a lot of growth comes out of that. And as a songwriter, I feel like as an artist, you're constantly... I've been super hard on myself, but you're constantly rejected or like it's not good enough or, you know, sometimes you got to suck to suck. And sometimes that's where you're at. It's like the Tom Petty, the waiting is the hardest part. You know? It's like, but I feel like it's very important to search those dark corners of your mind. But in through therapy, I learned that I always sought out relationships where I always felt like, I was better than the situation that I was in, you know, or maybe I didn't, but like Brooke is the complete opposite of that, you know, like she makes me better, you know, I'm not saving anybody. If anybody's getting saved, it's me.
Yeah.
You know,
I love that too.
And, it's pretty cool, man. It's, at first it was like a kind of a, like a, I don't want to say boring because I don't want her to think she was boring, but like I was kind of used to the chaos. That's kind of what I've known my whole life.
Yeah.
And it was very peaceful and I didn't know what to do with that at first, but now I've kind of settled into it and it feels like home and it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. And I mean, that's part of the story of Trey Lewis and Thomason, right?
Like, right. Yeah.
That's part of your story, you know, is like, I mean, it's ups and downs. It's a roller coaster, right? The life.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like a lot of freedom in that. And I feel like back to like what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Like where I was struggling with like, what do we do? Like more cussing songs, or do we like toe the line and like, you know, do this and do that? And I feel like I'm so settled into like who I am as a person. Like, you know, Matt Barrill knows, people that know me and love me know that I'm a good dude, mm-hmm. and I know that I'm a good person, and I know that I'm a changed man. So I don't really give a fuck what anybody else thinks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're going to dick and butt fuck over here and sing about it.
Yep.
And make people laugh and make people have a good time. I went to breakfast with Rusty Gadsden this morning, and he said, man, you just got to keep writing songs. He was like, I believe in you. He was like, you know, and it doesn't have to be songs like Live Like You Were Done. You know, he's like, you never know. You might, you know, talk some guy out of leaving his shitty girlfriend because he heard Dick Down in Dallas, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of songs that I want to do. I want to. And Trey Lewis, I want to do songs that are for the working man and, you know, want to say fuck that motherfucker mm-hmm. and, you know, or a trashy bitch or like whatever, you know.
Yep.
And then I want to have serious songs about my life that touch on all aspects of my grief, my recovery, you know.
Yeah.
And it's really freeing, but I think the biggest part is like I know who I am and you can't shake that.
Yeah.
You know, and like, the biggest thing is like having the vision, you know, and the vision can change over sure. time. But it as long does. As like, as long as you're, as long as my mind is on that vision and it's something I do a lot of journaling. I don't know if y'all have ever done that, but it's been awesome, dude.
I tried to get into it and I didn't keep consistent with it.
I mean,
it.
Your hand will hurt like some bitch.
Yeah.
But it's just like running or working out or anything. It gets a little bit better.
Yeah. It's I've been trying to, just myself kind of explore the inside of my brain, you know, like kind of like self therapy almost, but just thinking about who I am and who I want to be and what I want to put into the world. Right.
Right.
Whether it's through Raise Rowdy or just personally in my personal life, you know, I think journaling is a part where it's like, cause sometimes when I think that it's there and it's gone, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you write it down and you can go back to it and look at it, you know, words of affirmment that you can look at over and over. I think there's power in it.
There is. And I mean, it's something that I did early in recovery. And I feel like for me, it like became almost like a checklist thing. So like I kind of got away from it for a little while.
Yeah.
But now I'm kind of back in it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what my whole walk's been. It's like sometimes I'll do stuff for a little while as an exercise and it'll become, you know, it'll become too routine for me and I'll just kind of back off of it and go do something else and do other things. I feel like as long as we're searching to like figure shit out, you know?
Yeah.
And then for me, I'm like in a good place always creatively. You know?
And honestly, dude, like your headspace these past couple months even has been great.
Yeah, in the like, meetings, I'm not like playing Xbox. I'm like in it.
Well, it's not even just that. It's just like, as someone that works with an artist, like mm-hmm. you want an artist that has vision and knows where they want to go. And like you now know exactly where you want to go and how to steer it there.
Yeah, it's so funny, man, because like when me and Ella first were living together, you know, I'd just sit in my room for hours and play guitar and like songs and stuff. And then, you know, I've heard her talk about it. You know, she started doing that, you know, mm-hmm. and then kind of like when her rocket ship started taking off, I took notice of a lot of the things that she was doing. And that vision thing was like one of the biggest things.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like it's powerful and it is when the team feels it,
mm-hmm.
it motivates everyone.
Yeah.
You know, like having creative vision not just helps you. It helps everyone around you rally.
And thank God for, you know, MTV and all that stuff. I mean, I grew up watching music videos. So when I write a song, that's like the first thing I see in my mind is like, what's the visual going to look like? Mm-hmm.
I love that. Like when I listen to a song, Cassidy Daniels sent me a song today. And I was like, it wasn't even like a music video. I just like saw a visual in my head, mm-hmm. you know? And that's when I know I dig a song.
Do you remember like going home to watch TRL every day?
Oh, yeah. TRL and what was the booty shaking thing before that? I watched that for different reasons.
Soul Train. See, I mean,
no.
You wanted to hear that Smashing Pumpkins song, so you'd sit through 10 minutes or 10 songs of a bunch of stuff you didn't care about to hear Disarm or like Bullet with Butterfly Wings or whatever.
Or like, remember when Eminem was on TRL? It's like, holy shit. Because you didn't have like, I mean, Facebook didn't even happen for me until I was in high school.
No, it was when I was in college.
College.
Or maybe right after college was when I got it.
Like, you didn't have any of that. So, like, the only thing you got was, like, TRL.
Yeah. Radio.
Behind the
TRL. And then anything your parents had catalog of, you know? Yeah. No, honestly, me, like, so I grew up, I was the youngest of four boys. So my brothers were all into music. And they had catalogs of music. And then my mom listened to, like, oldies R&B kind of vibes. And my dad listened to country. But music was the thing that everyone in my family loved. And so, like, I remember watching, like, my buddies were all watching cartoons and I was watching MTV. And most kids weren't allowed to watch MTV when they were that age. But I had 13-year-old brother, you know, 13 years older brother. So, like, it was on, you know. We only had one TV for a while, you know. So, like, music has been my heart since I can remember, right? Not just my heart, but my family's heart. You know, it's a thing that when
it's
we were
the
in
the love
car,
language of the Tressler family.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have different situations and different commonalities with all of my family members on different music, you know, like things I think back of to this day. Like, I remember having a conversation with my brother Chaz about Conway Twitty and my dad's love for him and like what the songs meant to us because our dad loved it so much, you know, just like early conversations when we were kids. Music is powerful and music is the great.
I mean, we get something from music that we don't get anywhere else.
Yeah. I heard someone talk about music too and say that music, a lot of things are so repeatable. And if someone doesn't do something, someone else can, but they're like, but music's not like that. The way that that song comes out, the exact way that it's expressed is never going to happen with someone else expressing it, you know? Yeah. So it's like, they're like, it's one of the few things in the universe that is kind of like that, you know? It just seems so like timely and just little things or parts of songs that you wouldn't even think are meaningful, you know, end up being extremely meaningful to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It reaches the masses in a way that not many things can.
Yeah.
If you think about most of the great things in the world, like the things that people talk about the most or they feel the strongest about, it's like politics, religion, sports. Those are all kind of dividers, you know? Music brings people together.
True that.
You know? And I think that's the power of it, is getting it brought together. And honestly, now, man, like with these two separate elements, you get to go and you get to go play the silly fun songs live that make everyone's say all the words and that they want to drink cold beer to, right? And that sells tickets, right? That helps everyone. And then you get to go now do your thing of like, these are the songs that mean the most to me. This is my story, right? And as long as Spotify doesn't crash and the robots take over, like, you're going to have those songs out there for people to listen to for generations on end.
I had another idea today.
Yeah.
See what you think about it. See what everybody else thinks about it.
Yeah.
So, you know how, like, it would be cool to, like, obviously, as a Trey Lewis song, like, do a duet with a female?
Mm-hmm.
What if I just created, like, an AI female singer and just wrote the most raunchiest shit?
And just have her do it?
Yeah.
That'd be funny.
Yeah, it would be hilarious.
And I could just see the visuals, what she would look like already.
Yeah. It's just a female raccoon, you know?
She has her own separate Spotify, but she only does songs with Trey Lewis. Yeah.
You know? Someone else asks for a feature, and you're like, no. Yeah. That'd be funny as heck. No, man, I mean, it's a strange world we're getting into, but in my head, the thing that's always going to be the thing is the live experience, right? And I've seen you crush writers' rooms. I've seen you crush freaking big rooms that we've got to see. Like, man, still to this day, one of my absolute favorite shows that I've had is that Slide and Ride show.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna say. Yeah, that's what I thought you were gonna say.
That Slide and
Ride
show.
That's probably a top five for me.
Post COVID,
McKinney almost bit his tongue off.
Yeah, he almost chewed the whole way through his tongue. But like, but
broke his clavicle. I didn't even know you could break your clavicle.
What, he fell off a stage or something?
Yeah, it was dark.
That story.
But like the feeling that I had in my heart, seeing what was it, 1,200 people together, after you not being able to be together with more than maybe 40 people, just it made me realize how much that experience and that shared camaraderie meant to me. You know, so much that I bought a case of beer and handed them out to all the people around me. But
you,
man,
shared that with your cardboard.
Oh yeah, my cardboard all access pass.
You still do that?
Oh yeah, every Trey show that I go to, I'm gonna have to do one for this Lakeview show. So
I had this thing where I said that Nikki T looked like Tony Stewart.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does he kind of looks like Tony?
I could
Stewart?
See it. Yeah, yeah.
Close enough.
Handsomer though, but yeah.
So he bought me a Tony Stewart NASCAR card.
Yeah, like a baseball card.
Mm-hmm. And signed it as Nikki T.
Yeah, and gave it to Trey. He's like, what
is
this?
I didn't get it at first, but now it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Nick is a giver of trinkets for sure.
Oh, yeah. I love silly little things. Like, I'm not like the biggest like birthday gift giver or like, you know, like Christmas doesn't fill my heart as much, giving gifts on Christmas.
Yeah.
But like when I see something and it reminds me of someone, even if it's something little and silly.
Where did you see that thing?
Bro, I don't even know. Yeah. I just like, I think I thought about it and I was like, oh, I got to get a Tony Stewart card. Sure. You know, I don't know. That's my ADD running, you know? Yeah. But I love that. Like, I love when someone's not expecting to get something. And even if they don't love it, they're like, what's this?
Yeah.
You know? Like, I
love it now.
That's my favorite.
I wish
thing.
I could find that thing. I think it's in my old car or something.
Yeah. It's just, it's fun, it silly stuff. Yeah.
Dude, I've turned into the biggest, like, throwaway guy.
Yeah,
good.
You gotta be.
I just throw shit away.
You gotta.
I love it.
Man, when I moved this last time, I gave away, like, 7 bags of clothing. And I was like, where did all these come from? And then I was like, oh, yeah, I'm an idiot. I buy stuff all the time.
On Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just throw stuff away. I'm like, oh, I haven't needed this in a year. If I need another one, I'll go
get it.
I have 2 drawers in my dresser that are just Raised Rowdy t-shirts.
Really?
Yeah, like seriously.
It's a lot of them.
Yeah.
We should give them to the kids.
Don't throw those away.
Yeah.
No, I kept them.
We'll donate them to the children. Mm-hmm. But, dude, I have that. Like, a third of my closet's Raised Rowdy t-shirts. I have, like, every t-shirt ever of all time.
I mean, I've been living with Brooke since June.
Yeah.
And I've already had, like, 2 visits to the closet where I just threw shit away.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm not going to wear this. Not going to wear this.
When you
too are skinny for this. No.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're a different size, bro.
Damn, look at them guns, old son.
You're looking good, brother. Looking good.
Tricep.
I know you've been working hard on it, too.
Yeah,
it pretty good.
Yeah,
I mean, we saw you at the when you at the Nickelback night. You were down, and now it's like you've lost way more since then. Bro.
Yeah,
all your shit's going good.
We talked about that last night when you popped in. Thanks for coming, by the way.
Of course, had to show support.
Yeah,
I saw it, and me and Brooke were going to tour apartments, and I was like, dude, we should just stop by there.
Yeah,
I know I Irish goodbye, but
no, brother. Honestly, like, it's so appreciative and. Matt appreciates it so much, and I do too. You know what I mean? It's meaningful that our people care enough about the events to pop into them. You know what I mean?
Well, what I love about you guys, man, is like, and I know this sounds cheesy, but I mean, y'all are on the pulse, man. It's really cool to like, you know, there's a kid named Cole Spain. Remember he played y'all's thing?
Cole's great.
We've been writing once a month, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, I love that part of like songwriting. Like, I don't care if, what somebody has like going on. Like when I moved here, it was hard to get people to write with me, you know, and like I would have killed for the opportunity with somebody with a pub deal to like just sit down and like explain shit to me or like show me how, because you never know, like, you know, I think that kind of thing should be paid forward, you know, like,
yeah,
just go do it, you know, and like, I mean, it doesn't, you know, once you've written, you know, 600 songs or how many ever songs, like, it's not hard to write a song, you know?
Yeah. But it, like you're saying, that's meaningful to those kids to get that experience. Yeah. Like, if they get to write at Sony.
Well, dude, I remember I was writing with like Christian Yancey and what's the other guy's name? He just signed at Riverhouse writing songs. He played guitar for Austin Snell.
Kenny Whitmire.
Kenny Whitmire. I was writing with those guys before they ever had publishing deals. Mm-hmm. But like when I was writing with them, I was like, man, they're just as good as me. They should definitely have pub deals, mm-hmm. you know? So I don't know, man. For me, I feel like it's important for me to do that.
Yeah.
And regardless if, you know, if they pop off, cool, and we get some songs together, cool. If not, we're still, you know, friends and
yeah.
you know, whatever. But I love that about you guys, that y'all, I mean, you're on the pulse of like what's going on here in Nashville, and it's so cool and refreshing to see a crew like we had.
Yeah. You know?
Like,
oh, and everybody's
out there at the round singing each other's songs. Mm-hmm. Nobody else knows, you know, like, mm-hmm. I don't know it. Kurt doesn't know the song, but mm-hmm. like that group of friends does. And I mean, that's a lot of what Dick Down in Dallas was.
Mm-hmm. I remember the first time I heard Bonner, just he came up for summer camp too, like at the end of COVID, like right before I moved down.
Yeah.
And he just kept saying Dick Down in Dallas. And I was like, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
And Brill was like, oh, there's this like song everyone's been playing around a campfire, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And then to see like what it turned into and all the chaos that ensued since.
Yeah,
you know?
It's been wild.
Super cool. But that's like one of those things, man, where it's like you never get to pick exactly what pops, right? Mm-hmm. Like I hear so many artists say, oh, that's the one, you know, yeah. like that's mm-hmm. not the one I thought was gonna, you yeah. know, but it's all about what you do with it from there, man. And I love this thing where it's like you get to do that fun stuff, right? Which is a part of you.
Yeah.
Right. And I see the smile on your face when you write a silly song, yeah. you know, and but I also see the pride when you write a song that is extremely meaningful to
For
you,
sure.
you know. And I love this lane of you getting to do both of those expressions with equal power and equal fervor and equal passion, you know?
Yeah, I'm excited about it too, man. I'm glad you're on the team, baby.
Yeah, dude. Absolutely. We love you, man. I tell people all the time, like you talk about, like the people that know the caliber of human you are.
Yeah.
Right? There's a lot of bad people in this town.
For sure.
There's a lot of bad people in entertainment,
yeah.
you know? There's a lot of people that like to take advantage of people or, you know, force their will upon people. That's not you, brother. Yeah. You're a good soul.
That ain't what we do around here.
No, dude. That's not us, you know.
And fuck people that do. You
yeah,
know?
Absolutely agree.
Get
man.
Fucked.
Fuck, yeah. those, fuck those motherfuckers. Fuck.
Yeah. yeah right. We ain't doing right. all that.
Yeah.
yeah.
doing all that.
But no, man. And I honestly, like, I can't wait for the first Thomason tour, you know.
Yeah. That'll be cool.
That'll be sick.
I didn't even really thought that far.
Yeah.
I just figure, you know, like, aside from all we've talked about, like, it'll just be to me, it's like a passion project
mm-hmm.
until it's not. But what's not a passion project till it's not?
All the best know? Things are.
Totally, man.
And, you know, I think at the end of the day, if you and my mom are the only people that listen to the Thomason music, then I'm good with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
I mean,
we'll
I know that's
that.
Not going to happen.
Right,
but,
yeah.
like, I'm cool with whatever it is, there's going to be no expectations on, like, I mean, of course you want stuff to do good, but
yeah.
like, you know, just like with the Trey Lewis stuff, I mean, I, you know, Dick Down in Dallas came out in 2020
mm-hmm.
and I mean, I put out, I think it's like 45 songs since then,
mm-hmm.
but you just got to keep putting them out, keep
That's
going.
It.
And, I'm down to do it. So
every song is another therapy session. It's another chance to catch
yeah.
another fan. It's another chance to catch someone at one of their moments when they need it. You know?
Yeah.
And that's the power of music, man.
Yep. I ran into a kid the other day at the gym. He was like, man, I'm new to town. Like, what do you think I should do? Like, I've heard a couple of people like tell me that I should get on social media and stuff. I was like, man, honestly, dude, you should just write a bunch of songs, and then when you feel like you get something good, start posting it on TikTok. You know,
yeah.
you don't want to post Dick Down in Dallas on TikTok and be singing that the rest of your life.
Yeah.
so,
that's funny.
I just thought you'd think that was funny.
No, it's bro. It's there's plenty of ways to do it, and no, there's no right and there's no wrong ways,
yeah.
right? And it's like, everybody's journey is 100% different, but
right.
that's what makes them all worthwhile.
Man. That's right. That's right. And you know? That's the thing, man. It's like I was telling somebody earlier today, like sometimes you go on the road and the shows aren't, you know, quite that as fun as some of the others. And, you know, like sometimes you write just a shitty song and you sat in there for, you know, 4 or 5 hours and, you know, put your blood, sweat, and tears into it, and it just wasn't your day,
mm-hmm.
you know. But at the bottom line is that I would rather be doing that than, you know, wearing a suit and tie and doing some paperwork bullshit, you know, or out cutting somebody's grass. I'm a high school dropout, dude. Like, the only kind of other work that I do is, like, construction, painting houses, you know, some bullshit where some dude named Craig that smokes Marlboro Light 100s is going to yell at you all day, you know? Yep. So, well, I mean, I'm 110% committed to music, and it's like, it's what I love to do. It's who I am. So I don't do much of that, like, getting down on myself anymore of, like, what am I doing? Because I know what I'm doing. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and that's what being a lucky one's about, brother.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
right.
I love it.
Amen.
Well, a couple things. One, I'm very excited to hear about your New Year's show. I don't know. Is that announced?
Where is that? Oh, in California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that announced?
Are you coming?
I don't know, man. Well, the same people that we host now at Odie's, they own that bar.
I don't think it's announced yet, but I mean, if I was on a TikTok live right now, I'd tell somebody about it. So it's going down.
No, I'm excited about that. And, dude, just getting to see you at the Dusty Armadillo now, which I'm not going to get to see because we were like, is that the same run that we're doing Pittsburgh? I was going to like try to bop over, but it's like a month apart.
Yeah.
And then getting now, it sounds like Raise Rowdy is going to get to be a part of the Lakeview show.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Got announced on. With Max Allen, too. Have you checked out his stuff at all?
No, I haven't checked it out.
So he's from Mount Pleasant, which is the town over from where I grew up.
Okay.
And now he's like starting to pop up.
Is Mount Pleasant West Virginia or is it?
It's Pennsylvania.
It's still Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been there before.
Maybe. So it's like Uniontown, Connellsville, Mount Pleasant. Okay. Kind of like, and there's other little towns and stuff in between, but like those are like the bigger towns. So it's, you got like Lakeview, which is Pittsburgh, you know, and they lean into the black and gold. And then you got Max Allen, who's like another kid, and then Brandon Wisham, who's a singer mofo, and Trey Lewis. Like, what a freaking lineup for a show.
It's going to be awesome.
The Rock scene, too. A little story I had from there. Like, one of the first shows I saw there was Ryan Bingham.
Yeah.
And I remember for the first time in my career as a music fan, like, I noticed the lighting and like how good it was. You know, so I'm very interested to be back there and see if it was like Ryan Bingham's lighting crew or if it was just that room has magical lighting because it was extremely well lit and it is a really good sounding room. I'm so excited for that show, man.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
It's going to be great.
I haven't seen Lakeview do a live show in a long time.
Crush.
I guess I saw like a part of their show the time they played the Raised Rowdy thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know how like Nashville shows are. They aren't your real show.
No. We've gotten lucky enough to see those boys at some festivals and stuff this year. They were at a country concert and they played the Raised Rowdy Camper Party.
Yeah.
And the owners, one of the owners, like the wife was like, I want this on the main stage next year. Mm-hmm. Like they're crushing. They have, I've gotten lucky enough to see their first ever full band show, and now to see like how it's developed has been sick.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So those boys are doing great, and they're getting freaking played on the station that we used to have a radio show on, Y108 up in Pittsburgh. Yeah, they're getting like, I think like 15 spins a week.
I heard their song on one of the internet radio stations.
Like the highway,
the
or,
highway
something.
Or something.
Yeah.
One time.
They're doing great, man. Mm-hmm. It's cool when they're...
I used to love their content of them like cutting grass or whatever they were doing.
It's real.
That was cool.
That's what they were doing. When we met them, I met them through Mike Stahl that does all my tattoo work.
Yeah.
And that's what they were doing. Like they were doing that all day and then writing songs at night and playing shows.
Now
they're
at Ace High for publishing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sick.
It's awesome.
So I think that's going to be a cool duo too, like having you on the same bill as them.
Yeah. I mean, we've always like looking for like, I mean, obviously it's hard to do a Trey Lewis tour with anybody that wants to be affiliated with a Dicks and Buff Ups.
Yeah.
But they might be, you know, somebody cool to do something with long term, you know.
And those are good dudes too, you know what I mean? Have always been great to us, and just watching their stuff grow has been cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anything else like tour wise or anything else that you
think
got coming
up?
I
don't think so, man. Just go follow Thomason.
Yeah.
Thomason.music.
Thomason.music. And then you'll see the Thomason. Spotify and Apple Music,
all that stuff. Yeah,
it's rolled out now.
It's all rolled out. It's all there.
Well, Brett,
we'll be posting content and all that stuff.
I love it. Well, thanks for coming on and chatting
thanks
with
for
us
having
about
me
this,
on.
Bro. Yeah. I appreciate it. Like, having you announce it with us has been super cool, and
yeah,
thankful for you, brother.
Yeah, thankful for you guys.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, right. I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we'll see you in the front row at a Thomason show.
That's awesome.